Throughout our Advent preaching series this year, as we are turning to the book of Isaiah to see what this ancient prophet can teach us today about the Advent gifts of hope and peace, joy, and love. Today's passage comes from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 through 10, and the theme is joy. This text from Isaiah is a perfect match to that theme. Joy pulses through Isaiah 35 from the first line, with its glad lands and blossoming deserts, to the last, when a ransomed people come home singing. Now, most scholars believe that this passage is displaced from the section of the book of Isaiah called 2nd Isaiah, which includes chapters 40 to 55. Isaiah 35 shares with that second portion of Isaiah a background of Babylonian exile. The reading we're going to hear today is a promise to the exiles that God will redeem his people. He will bring them back once again to Mount Zion. This tone of promise and restoration sits out of place in the context of the earlier chapters of Isaiah, chapters focused on a call to repentance and the threat of judgment. But sometimes, the good news of God can't wait for the proper time or the right place. So let's listen now for the word of God. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. And please join with me in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the ringing of our bells be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I guess it's no surprise that it is Bell Sunday. If you are new to Old South, you might be wondering about this third high holy day in the year, third only to Christmas and Easter. This is a long-held, much-loved tradition here at Old South. And since so many of you look forward to this day, and you have made it clear that Advent is just not complete without Bell Sunday, I always like to give you another chance to ring your bells as part of the sermon. Now, usually, I will ask you to ring your bells if you have checked some things off of your holiday to-do list. But that doesn't seem quite fair this year with our whole theme of what can't wait and our encouragement to put aside some of those things that are usually on our holiday to-do list in order for us to think more deeply about the things that really can't wait in our lives and in this world. Things like bringing hope and peace alive. Things like sharing joy and love and light with both family members and friends and strangers that we meet along the way. So this year, instead of celebrating the things that we have already done, we're going to celebrate the things that we're still waiting to do. So those of you who are a little bit behind on your holiday to-do list, this is your day, because we are going to celebrate you. So, those of you, you can ring your bell if you are still waiting to put up your Christmas tree. Oh, okay. Good for you. How about if you are still waiting to send out your Christmas cards? Yep, okay. Are you still waiting to finish your Christmas shopping? And are you waiting to finish wrapping those gifts? I think we'd still make plenty of noise even if it was Christmas Eve and I was asking that question too, right? And how many of you are just waiting for a few more days to miraculously appear somehow between now and Christmas so that you have more time? Yeah. So now you can set your bells aside for just a few minutes. So this is indeed Bell Sunday. It is also the third Sunday of Advent, the Sunday when we light the candle of joy, the candle that is still burning up there. And today's scripture reading from the book of Isaiah seems to fit the bill for such a joyous occasion. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, Isaiah says. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. Those are the words from the beginning of today's scripture reading, the first verse and a half of the 35th chapter of the book of Isaiah, a chapter that is totally out of place. As I said during the introduction to the scripture reading, this text comes too soon. The book of Isaiah has three major parts. The first part is written as a warning. Essentially, in those early chapters, Isaiah was trying to get the Israelites to clean up their act. He was concerned that the people weren't being faithful to God, and he wanted them to return to their righteous ways before God took matters into his own hands. Isaiah knew it would not go well for the Israelites if God had to intervene. So over and over again, he told people how bad they were and how disappointed God was in them. The first part of Isaiah, much of it is not particularly uplifting. Now, apparently, his warnings did not work, because the second part of Isaiah is written for a community in exile. In 586 BCE, the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem and removed the Israelites from their land, sending them to exile in a foreign territory. So the primary message of 2nd Isaiah is actually consolation. Isaiah was reassuring the exiles that God still controlled history, and that the Lord would soon demonstrate his power by bringing the Israelites back to their own country in a second exodus, a second exodus that would be even more glorious than the first. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. That is how today's reading begins. And here's how it ends. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is a hopeful promise from beginning to end. It's a promise that belongs to 2 Isaiah. But here's the thing, it's placed 5 chapters too early. It's placed in the first part of Isaiah, the warning part, the discouraging part, the hopeless part. This promise of a desert in bloom, of a return to Jerusalem, of a celebration marked by joy and gladness. It doesn't belong where it's placed in the book of Isaiah. And you know what? No one knows why. Some things even the best scholars can't explain. As one writer said, it's like the Spirit hovered over the text, guiding the scribes to put the book of Isaiah together, saying, put these beautiful words here. Put them here before anyone is ready. Interrupt the narrative of despair. So here we have it, a word that just couldn't wait until it might make more sense. Isaiah dared to speak a word out of place. A word that couldn't wait. A word that couldn't wait until it would make more sense. A word that refused to wait until things had improved. Walter Brueggemann reminds us that Isaiah was in good company because Israel's people praised God so often, and that praise went against the data, he says. The Israelites praised God even when the data told them that their lives were falling apart and the world around them was a mess. Now we see and hear that data every night on the news, every morning on the front page of the paper, and all day long in our Facebook feeds. It feels like the world around us is a mess. And add to that the data of our own lives, waiting for the test results from the doctor, mourning the death of a loved one, wondering if we will make it through the next round of layoffs, watching someone we love fall victim to addiction. We know the data all too well. And we, too, long for a word out of place, a word that just won't wait until it would make more sense, a word that refuses to wait until things improve. That is why we need Isaiah this Advent. We need to be reminded that our God is a God who shows up when our lives are falling apart and the world around us is a mess. Our God is a God who cares for the dry and barren places in and around us. Our God is a God who shows up in the desert and offers us renewal and restoration and salvation. The God who cares for the earth also cares for those of us who are faint of heart and weak in the knees. Isaiah says that frail hands will be strengthened, feeble knees made firm, and the fearful of heart will be given courage. And he promises that God will make a way, a highway, a holy way, so that no matter how deep we are in the wilderness, we will be able to find our way back home. And when we do, sorrow and sighing will give way to joy and gladness. That is the promise of our God. And that is why we need Advent. Advent reminds us that our God is a God who shows up. Even when our lives are falling apart, even when the world is so messy, God shows up to meet our despair with hope. God meets our struggle with words of peace. God meets our grief with joy. God meets our loneliness with love. God shows up to bring deserts to life, to make ways in the wilderness, and to save the whole world with a tiny baby. And that is good news that we all need to hear. So on this day, in this season, no matter how far into the wilderness you may have wandered, may you trust that the Spirit is hovering over you and guiding the story of your life. The Spirit is whispering, "Let me put this good news right here, right now. Let me put these words of hope and peace, joy and love, even deep in the wilderness, so that my beloved ones can find their way home." Amen.